You think, putting this on, I'm going to sing you a song. I'm not really going to sing you a song, but there's one wee chorus that I want the children to sing that we didn't sing tonight, and it's one of my favorite. And it's one you know fairly well. There's three verses in it. It's deep and wide. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Deep and wide, deep and wide. There's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Well, last October, we went to a little gypsy village in Romania, and the children there hardly even speak Romanian. They speak their own language. But we taught them a chorus in English, and it was this one, deep and wide. And then we were able to explain about the fountain that this chorus speaks about. It's a fountain that the Lord Jesus Christ opened for us, for our sin and for our uncleanness, that we might be saved from our sin. And that's the fountain of the precious blood. So deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. All right, let's hear you sing. Sit up, please, and fold your arms and listen very, very carefully, because we come now to the Word of God, and we want to be really quiet. We don't want anybody speaking. We want to be really quiet, because this is very important. You know what this book is?
Bible.
And this is the book that is the most important book in the world. And this is the book that we teach from every Sunday, every Tuesday night. And when the children come to our meetings on a Tuesday night, they're going to hear messages, stories from the Bible. And you know what the Bible says concerning the Scriptures? They're able to make us wise. All right, are you children wise? Do you know what it means to be wise?
No.
Do you know what the opposite of being wise is?
Being dumb.
Being dumb, being foolish. Yeah. But the Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation. And that's the most important thing. Now, I'm going to read some verses. If you were here this morning, we were reading from Luke chapter 19. I'm coming back to that passage, and I'm going to read some of the verses that we read this morning. Because today, and it's not that we follow particularly the Christian calendar that is set out, but today is known in the Christian world as Palm Sunday. All right, did you know that? And do you know why it's called Palm Sunday? Anybody know? Do you know?
It was when Jesus was welcomed.
Jesus was
welcomed by palm trees.
He was welcomed by the waving of palm branches. We think that that is so true. And this is what we're going to read tonight. We're going to read about what we call the triumphant ride of Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. All right. So you want to try and picture this all in your mind. It really helps as you listen to the Word of God. If you have a Bible with you, you want to follow it and look at it there in the Bible, and that means that you're able to hear, and that your ears are working for you, all right? And if you have a Bible, you're able to see, and therefore your eyes are working for you, and two senses are bound to be better than just one, all right, to see and to hear. So if you have a Bible or able to follow one beside someone who has one, look at the Bible tonight. Luke chapter 19, verse 29. And I want you to think about what's being said. This is God's word. This is a record that is true. Think about exactly what's being said. Try and picture in your mind what's happening here. Verse 29, it came to pass when he, that is Jesus, was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany. That's just two little villages outside the big city of Jerusalem. At the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples. How many disciples did he send?
12.
No. I've just read it there. How many did he send just now?
Two.
Okay, that means you're listening. Two of his disciples saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? I shall say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. That's what we preached on this morning. The Lord has need of this colt. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. Are you following it? You understanding what's happening here?
Yep.
And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, or near, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And verse 41 is our last verse in the reading. And when he, that is Jesus, was come near, he beheld the city. He saw the city. And listen to what it says. He wept over it. He wept over it. Now this is the Lord's day. Today is the Lord's day. And the day that we've read about here tonight is the Lord's day. And it is the day that we call Palm Sunday. And that's the Sunday before Easter. It's the Sunday before Jesus Christ was crucified upon the cross. All right, I want you to keep that in mind. And we want to think about what's happening here. We want to think about the kind of things that you would have seen on that day. If you have followed the story, you will have thought about some of these things already. For example, I read about how many disciples did Jesus send here on Palm Sunday? Two disciples. So just at the beginning of this message, and to make it a little bit more interesting maybe for the children, let's go through some of these things. I need two disciples. I need two disciples. And I'm going to go to maybe some of the older ones. Are you older?
Nine.
You'll do. This is one disciple here. I'm going to have fellas, because I think the disciples were boys. I do. All right. And maybe somebody, another boy willing to be a disciple. You come. So we read about two disciples on this particular Sunday. Here are two disciples. How old are you?
Nine.
Nine. Two nine-year-olds. Okay, it's good to start to be a disciple early in life. And then we also read about a colt. Do you know what a colt is?
No.
It's important to know what we're talking about in the scriptures tonight. A donkey. It was a foal. You maybe heard of a foal. That just means it was a young donkey. All right. In fact, one of the passages tells us about a donkey and its foal, but it's the foal. And nobody had ever sat upon this donkey before, which makes it very amazing. Do you know what you have to do to a horse or a pony or a donkey or anything that you're going to ride on before you ride on it? Do you know what you have to do? You have to do something. You do have to put probably a saddle, but they maybe didn't use saddles in these days entirely. It begins with B. You have to break it. All right. That doesn't mean you break the thing, but that's what it means. Or what it means is actually you have to tame it so that whenever you sit on it, it doesn't throw you off. Because if you sat on one that had never been ridden before, that's what a horse or a pony or a donkey would do. It would throw you off. So here was a real miracle that's going to take place. The two disciples are still all right. He's okay. What did the Lord ask the two disciples to get?
A colt.
A colt. Would you like to do that for me?
No.
Yeah. You have to be obedient disciples.
Yeah.
One says yes, one says no. So I'm going to send you off to the village of Bethphage. You go out that door and you turn to the right, and I want you to bring me in the colt that is out there. Thank you very much. You just wait and see, Ariana. You just wait and see. Mm-hmm. You just wait. You see what comes through that door. Hopefully. Thanks to my grandson, Jake. I don't know how long it took the disciples to go to Bethphage, but this is not too far. Oh, okay. Well, it might be. I couldn't get a good donkey, so it's a kind of a pony thing. Okay, that's all right. So we have two disciples. We have what we're going to call our colt tonight. And we learned something about this colt. Whenever the disciples would enter the village, we're told something about the colt beginning with T. It was?
Tamed.
It wasn't tamed. It was tied. What would you tie up a colt with? A rope. I couldn't get a Bible rope. I'm sure they weren't blue in those days. But so on that day, you would have had a rope, and this thing had to be untied. Also on that day, we're told about things that they put on the colt. What did they put on top of the animal?
Saddles.
No. Clothes. You get me some clothes? Yeah. Okay, you would. Here, I'll show you where to get them. Here. Okay. See if you find any there. Who else could give me a wee hand to get some clothes? Ariana, you come and help. You put some of these clothes. Just two each would be okay. Put them on the colt, because that's what they did. They put them on the colt probably because they didn't have a nice saddle like that. It was to make it more comfortable. Because somebody very, very important and very special was going to sit on the colt. Thank you very much. You can sit down again. Good to have the disciples with me. And then we're told that they also put something in the way, in the road that they were going to travel. What did they put? A couple of wee things that they actually put. More clothes. Would you come and help me?
I'll help again.
No. But get some another volunteer. Alice, Naomi. See if you can find some more clothes in a bag there. Quick. Need quick disciples. And what they did, they just cast them in the way. So this is the way here. This aisle is going to be the way. You just throw them down. This was some not on the colt. This time they made a carpet. They made a carpet for the Lord. And it was really the outer garments. And these are outer garments, and we haven't worn for a long time. Put them on the way. Yeah. Just like a carpet. Is there any more clothes? No?
Yeah.
Yeah, put them all out. Only one. Okay. That'll do. You can go and sit down again. Well, ask the disciples. Thank you. Thank you for my 9-year-old disciples for coming and helping me tonight. You're going to tell me something? What else did they throw in the way? Sophie. I think so. Sophie said palm leaves. Branches. Anything else? Where were they? They're coming down by the mountain. You just picture it in your mind. That's why we say it. Picture it in your mind. They're coming down by the mountain and the mountain is called a certain kind of a mountain. And so in that mountain, there was something growing there. It's quite obvious. There probably were palm trees, but olives. Olives. I couldn't get any olive branches. I could have if I had a thought in time, because they grow olives over in Israel and they grow them in Spain, which is not too far away. It's interesting that two of the Gospels, Matthew and Mark, tells us that they cut down branches. And they don't tell us what kind of branches, but they cut down branches. And we assume that because the Mount of Olives was there and olive trees were growing there, that many of the branches that they put in the way, just like this carpet with clothes and branches, were actually olive tree branches. And somebody mentioned the palms as well. Now, we didn't read about that tonight here. We only read about the clothes. But in the Gospel of John and the chapter 12, we do read about palm branches. It doesn't tell us that they threw them in the way or what they did with them, but it just says that they came meeting the Lord with palm branches. And some people believe that what they actually did when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming, because he's coming as the king, was that they were waving the palm branches. You can get anything on the internet nowadays. All you have to do is Google it. These are palm leaves.
Are those real ones?
Are they real? What do you think?
Can I feel them?
No? No? What do they look like?
They look fake.
They look fake. Okay, with three of them there. Well, they are. They're plastic. That means they'll last a long time. All right. The other ones will probably just wither and die. But these are something like what palm branches would have looked like. And they say that they probably waved them as the king was coming, as the Lord was entering into the city of Jerusalem. There's one other thing that I want to mention just before I come back to the palm leaf. There's one thing I want to mention that we did read about, and it's in the last verse. Coming down the side of the Mount of Olives, he now comes, he sees the city. He sees the city of Jerusalem, and the Bible tells us Jesus did something. You remember? He cried. He wept. That's what the Bible says. And I just want to mention this, really, children, in passing, because tears. You ever shed tears?
Yeah.
I'm sure you have. I think everybody has shed tears. Tears are special. Tears are important. And Jesus Christ is shedding tears. We read about the Lord shedding tears when he stood outside the tomb of his friend, Lazarus. We read also from the book of Hebrews that in Gethsemane, he shed tears. He was a man of strong crying. You think of that. The Lord Jesus Christ weeping in Gethsemane. And this other place outside Jerusalem, as he sees the city, the Lord Jesus Christ is weeping. And tears are important. In the Old Testament, in the Psalm 56, I think it is, in verse 8, the psalmist David, King David, he asked the Lord to do something with his tears. I don't know whether you've ever read that psalm or what you think David might have asked the Lord to do with his tears. It was borrowed from a custom that the Jews would have done. They did something, especially the women, they did something with their tears. They actually stored them. And David says, put my tears in a bottle.
Are those tears?
Are those tears?
They're water.
How many tears do you think would need to be shed to get that amount?
Huh? 20.
More than 20, I think.
100.
Hundreds, probably. All right. But the Bible does tell us, that David says, put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in your book? And it was believed that the Jewish people actually stored up their tears. Sometimes they were called funeral tears. And somebody in the family died and they were very sad. They shed tears and they actually took a bottle And they caught their tears, put them in a bottle. In times of great trouble and affliction, they shed tears, and they gathered up these tears and put them in a bottle. Read about a woman in the New Testament that the gospel writer refers to as a great sinner, or at least the people in that home knew her to be a great sinner. And she came in to where the Savior was having a meal one day. Now, in Bible times, they ate a little bit differently than you and me. You know, customs are different all around the world. Some people in certain countries sit on the ground. If you were at church today, you'd be sitting on the ground. I've been to places like that, and they don't have any seats or forms or pews. You just sit on the ground. And in Bible times, they would have had a meal, and they had couches. Do you know what a couch is? Like a sofa. And they would have leaned, they would have lain down on these sofas, and they would have leaned on their left hand, and they were able to eat with their right hand, and their feet were out the back. And servants came round, and they were able to set the food on the table, but they came from behind, and they would have had their sandals off, and they were just lying comfortable and eating and enjoying the meal. And the Bible says concerning the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of Luke chapter 7 that this woman came in that was a great sinner. I believe that just recently she had found the Savior, she had come to know Christ, and her heart's filled with love because she realizes, you know, the Lord has forgiven me for all my sin. You know, the Bible tells us she weeps at the feet of Jesus and she shed tears. Now, maybe she didn't have a bottle. Some people thought maybe she brought this special bottle that had gathered her tears over the years and she poured it on the feet of Christ. But certainly, the Bible says she washed the feet of Christ with her tears. And if there was no bottle, there must have been a lot of tears shed to wash somebody's feet. And then she dried the Savior's feet. Not with a towel, but she dried his feet with her hair. And then she had another wee bottle with her. It was a bottle of very precious ointment, like perfume. And she broke it open and she poured it all over the feet of Christ. You know what she was saying? Lord, I'm so thankful that you have forgiven me. I'm a great sinner. Now, the Pharisee's house where the Savior was, he didn't understand that, but the Lord did. I'm so thankful that you've saved me, forgiven me for my sin. We ought, if you're a Christian tonight and you're saved, you ought to be thankful to the Lord. But anyhow, the point we're making is on that day, this day, Palm Sunday, Jesus is weeping. He's shedding tears over the city of Jerusalem. And I want to close tonight just with three thoughts. I want really to think about what this meant. As these people were coming out of Jerusalem and they were waving their palm branches as the Savior was coming in, riding on the colt as the king. What did the palm leaf signify? What does it mean? Well, the first thing it meant was peace. This is a symbol of peace. And even the animal, the colt that he rode upon, also symbolized peace. Kings way back in Bible times, when they were wanting to show that they were coming in peace, they rode on a donkey. When they went to war, they rode a horse. But when they were riding for peace, they rode a donkey. And this is a picture. This is a picture of peace. And the Lord rode as the King of peace. The people are crying here, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord." Peace. Peace in heaven. Glory in the highest. Jesus was known as the Prince of Peace. He was known as the King of Peace. And that's what he came to do. He came to bring peace. Why do you have to have peace?
You need peace so another war won't happen.
Okay, that's getting very near what I'm talking about, because you don't need peace if there's no war, if there's no fighting, if there's no arguing. But you need peace where there is what we call enmity. In other words, there's enemies. And because of our sin, we are enemies. Enemies of God. Our sin has made us enemies of God. And so, in order to have peace with God, and we use a big word called reconciliation, if you have a fallout, if you have war, if you have trouble, between people or between countries. You will try to bring peace. You will try to bring reconciliation. You will try to bring them together. And in order for that to happen, peace had to be made. And Jesus Christ came to bring peace. And how did he do that? The Bible says that we have peace through the blood of his cross. Where's the cross? What happened there? That's where Jesus died. That's where he shed his blood. And he shed his blood so that we might have peace. That the enmity might be taken away, that we might be reconciled to God, and all that warring between the sinner and a holy God be removed. Jesus did that, and he did it at the cross. He's now soon going to the cross, just in the matter of days. And there, at the cross, he would bring peace. And you know, the Bible describes that peace as a peace that passes all understanding. We can hardly understand it. It's just beyond our imagination, and it's a wonderful peace to have. Have you got the peace of God in your heart? Do you know the cleansing of the blood that has brought that peace? That's very important. And then there's another thing that this palm leaf represents. It represents victory. And the Savior came to give victory. And the victory that he came to give us is victory over our sin. And when you think of that, you've got to think about this. We have victory over the penalty of sin. You know what a penalty is? It's the judgment. It's what we deserve because of our sin. It's the sentence that is upon us. And there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. I deserve to die because of my sin. But Jesus came to give me victory over that penalty so that I would not have to die in my sin forever. And he came to give victory over the power of sin. Because people can't break sin. They can't break the habits. They can't break the sins of their lives because they are very often addicted to these things. And whenever we have peace and we come to have this victory and the Lord gives us victory over the penalty of sin, he gives us victory over the power. So that we can flee from sin and we can resist sin and we have power to overcome sin. Or when we sin, he gives us victory not to sin again in that way. And then he gives us victory over the presence of sin. We are in this world that's filled with sin. It's present all around us. And one day he will take us home to heaven to be with himself. And we will be delivered forever from the presence of sin. You know, the Bible speaks about a great multitude gathered around God's throne. If you could look into heaven tonight and see beyond the clouds, there's clouds out there now and away on through space, wherever the heaven of heavens is, and you could see God's throne, around the throne of God, there's a great multitude gathered, great company of people. Those are the people that have died in the Lord. Those are the saved people that have gone to heaven. Do you know what the Bible says that they hold in their hands? What do they hold in their hands? A palm branch or a palm leaf. And it's showing us that they're in heaven before God because of the blood of Christ. They have victory. Victory. And they are in heaven victoriously through the blood of the Savior. The last thing that the palm leaf represents is eternal life, because the palm tree is a tree that doesn't shed its leaves as such. It's evergreen all year round. And it reminds us of eternal life. Jesus came to give us victory over death. He came to give eternal life to his people, those that come and trust him as Savior. Eternal life means that you live forever. You think about that. You know, someday we'll leave this life. That's the natural progress of things, the process of things. We're going to leave this life. But we can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And he came to purchase eternal life for us, again at the cross. It's all about the cross. And that means you'll live forever and ever and ever. 100 years, 1,000 years, 1,000,000 years, and you're still living in the presence of the Lord in heaven. You know, everybody wants to go to heaven. Everybody wants to walk the golden streets of heaven. Everybody wants to be in that place where there's peace and joy and happiness forevermore. But the only way to get to heaven is through Christ. And this palm leaf is reminding us of everlasting life that is found in Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in that statement, he's really telling us there's no other way to heaven. He's speaking about heaven in that passage of Scripture in John 14. No other way to get to heaven. Can't get there by your good works. Can't get there by your church attendance. Can't get there by going to children's meetings. Can't get there by reading your Bible and praying. All these things that are good in themselves. No, Jesus says, I'm the way. And children, tonight, the burden of our heart on Tuesday night is that you boys and girls will come to know the Savior. That you will come to know peace. You'll come to know victory. You'll come to have everlasting life through him. I wonder tonight, have you got that peace in your heart? Have you got that victory forevermore? Have you got eternal life? Does Jesus live within? Just as we close the meeting tonight, we're asking that question. May the Lord speak to you, speak to your mums and dads, the parents that are here. We have no greater desire in our heart in Christian work in the church here than to see people saved and brought to Christ, that they might know all these things that were taught tonight about what the palm leaf signifies. Peace, victory, and eternal life. Let's pray.